Can you sum up Liverpool Football Club? What does it mean to you?
So important for us, for my family, for me. Changed something in my life, no? When it's more than a club, no? When you talk about clubs, for us it's more than a club, and the fans are more than just supporters. I think that they are part of our life now.
When you walk through the Shankly gates and you met all the supporters, it's like coming home. It's not like going to a football game.
She brings home football jokes from nursery and tells her dad.
Yeah. She had some problems with Evertonian because when we lost, but after when we won, so I think that was their revenge.
Daddy, I want a booty. And Rafa was giving her a pair of boots. She goes, no, I want a booty, I'm hungry.
Maybe because I was for 20 years in relationship with Real Madrid as a player and also as a coach. So the mentality always to finish second is a disaster. So we will try to finish first in all the competitions.
And I try a bit, you know, to defend the player sometimes. I said, Rafa, maybe you are too hard.
This is the real Rafa. Rafa Benitez, as you've never heard it before. In exclusive conversation with Steve Hothersall.
Well, welcome to Liverpool Football Club, and in particular at the Melwood Training Ground. I've been invited down here for an exclusive chat with Rafa Benitez and his wife, Monse, to get the life and times of this amazing pair since they've been at Liverpool Football Club, and particularly on Merseyside.
The real Rafa on Radio City 96.7.
When I was 13, my father gave to me a paper, so I was taking notes, and all the team selection of my coach in this time and the top scorers of the team. So I was controlling everything when I was 13, just 13, and I was doing the same for years, all my life. So I think that maybe in the back of my mind I was a coach and I didn't know.
I remember I didn't know anything about football. I only knew that there was a referee somewhere in the pitch and then the goalkeepers, and that was all. Because my family were more in sort of tennis things, athletics, rugby, things like that. So I remember the first date with Rafa. We were in a pizza place, in a pizzeria, trattoria, like an Italian place, with these paper mats. And while we were waiting for the food to come, he started to draw tactics. And I said, what's that? It's a first date? And he goes, you know, this is a 4-4-2. This is not, you can change to a 5-4-2. Oh, no. So it was a bit a strange date. But the following day, he called me back. And I don't know why I decided, okay, come on, again. And again was the same thing. And then after a couple of weeks, you know, dating and talking about football and more things, obviously, one day he said, we can go for a roast dinner in a lovely place in a town near Madrid. And I said, oh, that's great. And suddenly I discovered that there was a championship game that afternoon. So we were going to the game and then to the roast dinner.
So he'd planned it. What sort of age was this?
It was maybe about 13 years ago, yeah. But Rafa is always football, and then everything is around football. So.
And you were willing to accommodate that even from the very first go. You understood straight away that his life and his passion all revolved around football.
Yeah. So it was like if you want Rafa and you love Rafa, you must love football. Because if not, it's impossible to get on with him. But he's a lovely man, so it's very easy.
Your playing days were sort of brought to an abrupt halt, weren't they? You just describe yourself as a defensive midfielder or a holding midfielder. Were you a frustrated footballer, do you think? Do you think you would have liked to achieve more on the pitch?
No, clearly. I think that my best position was a sweeper, because I had a good vision of the pitch. I was not the quickest, but if I was in a good position, okay, I could play more or less. No, the question, I am sure, I don't think that I had the level for playing in Real Madrid in the first team, for example, when I was 10 years in the youth system. But I could play in first division. My idea was maybe in the middle of the table, no, and a team like this. But because I had my problem with my knee, so I couldn't continue playing regularly. So at the end, the best solution was finish my career and start coaching. And I am really pleased. So I could be a first division player, but really I never could be maybe a Real Madrid first team player.
Did that really upset him?
I think Rafa is a very clever man, and he knew that he wasn't going to be a top player, maybe a top class one. And since the very beginning, he was very interested in coaching and tactics. We have at home, notepads with things, about when he was 13, 14, writing about the mistakes of his team and the other teams and everything. So I think that in his mind was always this coaching and managing thing. And so for him, it was disappointing because of the injury to live football as a player, but he is a manager and he is a coach. Even in his normal life, he's a coach. First thing in the morning when he wakes up is, what we're going to do today, organization, now we're going for a walk at 10 o'clock, that is up, and you say, Rafa, calm down, it's a day off. But he's everything, it must be scheduled, like in a team. So
he's quite frenetic, he needs to know exactly what he's doing outside of football and inside of football.
Yeah. You must tell him, okay, I'm going to the shops till maybe 12, and we are going to pick up the girls, and so everything must be really ruled.
The Valencia days were fabulous for you. It probably marked your achievement as a top-level coach, didn't it? The two La Liga titles, the UEFA Cup. Was it at that sort of period in your time you were really believing in your own abilities?
Not really. I had a lot of confidence always in my ability. Why? Because when I started in the youth system of Real Madrid as a coach, I was very lucky because I had very good players. So we were winning normally every season. We were winning the league, and it was difficult because you were playing against Barcelona or Valencia or Sevilla or Atletico Madrid, these teams. But really, we had the best players in the country. So as a manager, it was almost a dream. And we were winning and winning every year. So I had a lot of confidence, and I was working really, really hard from the beginning. But also I had 2 years with big problems because I was fired. So I needed to show confidence in myself. So I was fired the first time when I left the Academy of Real Madrid, and I started in first division in Spain, in the Premier League in Spain. But we were creating a team for the second division, but because Sevilla and Celta, they didn't pay the wages of the players, so two teams, they were promoted to first division again, to the Premier League again, and were Albacete and Valladolid, and I was the manager in Valladolid. So we had a team with seven players from the academy of Real Madrid, players for second division, and we had to play in first division. So I was fired after 23 games, and it's very common in Spain. And after I went to Osasuna, and I was fired after 9 games because they said, he was fired before and they didn't have confidence, and they fired me again. But the year after, I signed in a second division team, we promoted to first division, and after I was in first division 1 year without training, we were talking about this before, and after another promotion with Tenerife to first division and Valencia. So I had a lot of confidence, but always you need a little bit of luck. So in this case, I was very lucky because I changed the agent. The new agent was really good and he was working hard, so I had the opportunity in Valencia. And after 31 years, we won the league, and after another league and the UEFA Cup. So a massive achievement in a fantastic club, but because I was a little bit lucky, but also because I had confidence in myself.
You must have travelled that footballing path with him, and it wasn't always easy for your husband, was it?
No. The maybe first years, the 3-4 first years were really hard. First, we were in a very small club in a very, very, very small village with no budget, no money, nothing. And it was really hard time. And after that, we have a gap year with no club. And was horrible for Rafa. He was mad to come back to the pitch, coach, everything. And then we went to Tenerife. And always I said, everybody said, you were very lucky to go live in Tenerife, the Canary Island. Oh, that was really hard because it's really far away from where my family is. not a very good communications, or I'm very expensive as well. And Rafa was traveling all the time. I had a little baby, and also the club had a lot of problems and was really hard times. And after that, we went to Valencia, and that was great. We won two Liga titles, the UEFA and everything. The fans there was really good as well. But the life in the city wasn't very easy for me and the children. So it was also a very hard time.
So you'd reached that steep curve and you'd probably achieved as much as you could at Valencia. You hear the word Liverpool then mentioned to you. They're interested in your services. Was that a decision that you and your wife took together? You seem a very strong family.
Yeah, really, I had four options. I had four clubs asking about me. I was talking with my agent, I talked with the directors in Valencia.
Which ones?
One was Besiktas. I would not say, because one is another English club, so maybe they will say no, but it's true. The other one was Inter Milan in this time, and the other one was Liverpool. And the best option, I could earn more money in Besiktas, because for 1 year I could receive maybe the same money that here in 3 years. So it was a massive offer for 1 year. But for me, the main thing for coming here was to talk about 5 years of contract. So when I was talking with my wife, we were thinking about to move the family, and 5 years of contract was enough time for preparing things, for doing a good job. So it was the first idea in our mind. I was talking with the directors in Valencia. I told them, listen, I have some offers. We have to talk, because we were really pleased in Valencia. The supporters were fantastic, but... Okay, we wanted to know the future. Now they were changing the owners, so we needed to know. And then, they were delaying the decision, and at the end we needed to decide, and we decided to come here.
Ever any question about moving to England, or particularly to Merseyside, or did you know that you would embrace the culture and the ways of football here?
No, I think that because I knew the mentality of the people. And also, I had a player here, Pedro Miguel Matias. He was playing, I think, he was in Walsall. He was playing in Walsall. He was my player in the youth teams. I was talking with him. Also, I knew Roberto Martinez, the Swansea manager, because I came here in England to watch 1 week a team, how they train. Also, I was talking with him before. But I knew Pedro, the young player, and he was talking to me about the mentality. I remember he told me, if you can lose 7-0, but if you work hard, your supporters, they will be supporting you. So it was a surprise, because it's impossible in Spain. Maybe here now it's impossible, but anyway, in this time I was very clear I wanted to come, because it was a good experience. And my wife, she likes the mentality, she likes the people, so I think that for her was easier than for me, because at the end of the day I was in Valencia and the supporters, they liked me.
Tell us about that time when, Liverpool showed an interest. You'd had such success in Spain, and actually moving not just himself as a manager, but there's a big consideration in moving yourself as his wife, Monsi, and the two children, and actually coming over to England and being involved in a different culture and life. What were your perceptions of England? Because perhaps you didn't know too much about Merseyside and Liverpool.
Well, I had the perception that in Spain you have about England. But when we were in Valencia after winning three big trophies, we knew that it was going to be very, very difficult to get anything else. And maybe a move to a different country will be that following step to make. And for me, it wasn't really hard to decide to move, because when I was a child, I've lived in France, in Portugal. After that, I have been working in Switzerland, in France, in Africa. So for me, it's quite easy to move. We are not, Raf and myself, we are not the typical Spanish people that are really attached to the country or the place where they were born. So we decide, maybe it's a good chance, and it's going to be the best thing for Rafa and for his career. So let's go and do it.
At that time then, you first heard the words Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And what did you know about this city or the football club?
I knew about the football club because, they had been great and big always. And obviously I knew about the Beatles, and not a lot actually.
Well, what did your husband have to say to you then to almost try and convince you, or did he need to convince you?
No. When he decides, Monse, I think that we need to do it, and said, okay, come on, we are a team, so if you think that this, and I think that this is the good thing to do, let's go and move. And it was maybe a weekend decision.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have your own, you're a doctor of law, I read, is that, mm-hmm. that correct? So you've got your own education, your own schooling, and you must have your own life outside of that football world. And when you're in Spain, you must have had that as well.
In Valencia, I was a lecturer at university, and I left that and just say, okay, we are going to focus on Rafa's career, and that is because it's our life together, and we understand life like a team. It's not like Rafa's career, my career. No, we go together. And I think that that is the reason why maybe we are stronger sometimes.
This is the real Rafa. Rafa Benitez, as you've never heard him before. In exclusive conversation with Steve Hothersall on Radio City 96.7.
You're listening to City Sport, and this is Monse Benitez, the wife of Rafa Benitez, talking for the first time about just some of the things that you possibly would never have heard before about the man who's guiding Liverpool Football Club. He's a man of what seems to be intense integrity. Whenever I've spoken to him, he's absolutely impeccable with his manners, and he likes people, I think, or likes team players who are similarly so. The players he's brought in, people like Fabio Aurelio or people like Fernando Torres, they're well-grounded people. Mm-hmm. And I think he looks a lot at their mentality as well as how they can play the game.
Yeah, Rafa thinks that you must have your feet on the ground all the time, because if you think that you are better than you really are, then you are lost. And I think that we always try to remember and to tell to our doctors is that when we first were married, we lived in a very tiny flat. We couldn't be both at the same time in the kitchen. And I think that you must remember that, where you come from, and that we are now here because we have worked hard, and also we have a big, big city and all the supporters who had made this and who had helped Rafa in the hard times with all the problems we had in the past. They had been there. We cannot forget last year when they were in 24 hours, we had over 50,000 signatures of fans supporting Rafa. And you cannot forget that. And you can't forget the people who sent you letters encouraging you, saying you thank you, or things like that. I keep all of them, and if I can, I call them, because we are here because of them. And you must remember that. And you must remember that most of them, they are still paying loans. They asked to go to Istanbul or Athens. And they work hard, and they spend part of their money and the family money just to support Liverpool. So we are here because of them. And Rafa said, we must remember that. We are not better than them. We are not over them. Mm. We are same level or maybe below them, because they are really the ones who make Liverpool great.
That association with the fans, did it start in Istanbul? Did it start before then? There's an incredible bond between Rafa and the fans and yourself as a family.
I think it started before Istanbul, because when we came here, obviously it was a different country, different town, culture, everything, and everybody helped us so much to settle down that we, just by Christmas, we found this was our place, because everybody's so friendly. Even you go to the shops and they welcomed you, hello, love, how are you? And I think that's great. You feel really welcome. And Istanbul was just, the eyes of the cake. And, you say, oh, that's great, yes. We are here because of them, and we must work for them.
How soon did you understand the passions of the club? Was it the first day? Was it the press conference? What really sort of strikes in your head now on the memories of 4 years ago?
My memory of the press conference was to hear myself after in a tape and say, come on, how bad the English I talk. So, but I think I was brave. No, I wanted to show that I wanted to be involved. I wanted to be part of the club. So we were talking before. No, I was studying French in the school. So to talk English, okay, I was studying a little bit, but not too much. And it was important for me to show that I wanted to be part of this big club. So and I am trying to improve. Always I say the same. My English is really bad because I don't have time for studying English. So anyway, I am improving a little bit. I understand some scouts were, so it's okay. But really, I am very happy here.
Did you understand any scouts when you arrived? Were you asking people to repeat things again and again?
Yeah, and now it's the same, you know. But I was with a friend of mine here in the gates, and the lads, the boys, they were waiting for signatures, and then they were talking about very, very quick, very fast. And then my friend that is from here, I say, what are they talking about? I can't understand. He's English and he's from Liverpool, but he couldn't understand. So I think that we know that it's difficult, but it's the same in Spain. If you go to the south of Spain, maybe you will not understand anything, but it's normal. So you say, okay, say again, please, and no problems.
Your children are being brought up. It's a very important time of their life, and they're being brought up in an English culture, and I would imagine this is truly their home.
Yeah. My girls now, they're English girls. For one of them, English is the first language. And for the other one, it's almost the first language. Between them, they talk English. With me, they talk in English, so it's English all the time. And they feel really English girls. When they go to Spain, they feel like, oh, we are out of place here. And the accent is a northern one. And for the little one, Agatha is a Scouse. And even she uses Scouse words. I remember one day, I was in the home. She was with Rafa. And she was hungry. And she was asking for her booty. And she was, Daddy, I want a booty. And Rafa was giving her a pair of boots. She goes, no, I want a booty. I'm hungry. And Rafa said, you are asking for your boots. No, a booty, a booty. And she opened the fridge. And Rafa was completely lost. Then Claudia came and said, Daddy, she wants a sandwich. And things like that, plenty of them, a time that she is talking really fast. And Rafa said, oh, yes, yes, yes. And suddenly she shouts, no, Daddy, no, don't listen to me.
So their grasp of the English language is almost better because they started at such an early age. I mean,
yes.
the pair of you speak brilliantly, but mm-hmm. but they are truly involved in that.
Oh, yes. Their problem now is with the Spanish. Their Spanish. They understand Spanish, they speak it, but it's not the best. And they don't have, for example, we were now for a couple of weeks in Spain, and they were watching the telly in English because they cannot understand all the language in the television, for example. So, but that's not a problem.
Now, we can talk for hours and hours about different footballing games, but some of the highlights obviously include Istanbul. Mm-hmm. And it was the first season. It was an astonishing arrival. I think Liverpool fans, it made Rafa exceptionally special to them straight away. Mm-hmm. What do you make of your feelings after winning the Champions League? What was the real Rafa inside?
I am the kind of person that is really proud if the job is well done, no? So I knew in this moment that was a fantastic achievement for me, for the supporters, for the staff, for the family, for everyone, no? So I was really proud inside, no? Sometimes I am not, you say, very expressive, or no? You say this in this way. But the inside, and really, I was really proud, and I am really proud to be here, you know, but really proud of this moment because it was amazing. I think it has been the best final ever in terms of the passion and the situation of each minute, no, was different because people talk about different finals, but this one, I think, was different to the other ones.
You inherited a talented but perhaps underachieving squad at the time. Stephen Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, Sammy Hupia were all there. But you could never have expected the climax to your first season being a Champions League final.
No, really, because when I was coming here, the target was in 3 years' time to be contenders or to win some trophies. In 3 years' time, so we started winning the Champions League. And then I think at the end of the day it was a problem because the people... they thought, okay, if we have won the Champions League now, we can win every trophy. So we won the Super Cup, we won the FA Cup, and we play semi-finals, you know. And I think that the people was expecting the last 2 years more and more and more. So I am not really happy in terms of silverware, no, because it's clear that the last 2 years we could do something more. But a final of a Champions League, and to be always in the Champions League, I think it's important to be in the top four. So I think that we can improve. But if you analyze the other teams, if you analyze the power of some of the big clubs here, I think that we are going in the right direction. But anyway, you never know when you will win the Premier League, because always it's difficult, but at least we have confidence and we will try to do our best every year.
Did he at any stage say to you that that he felt this was a season where they could become champions of Europe?
Yes, I found that when we were in quarters, in the quarterfinal, he thought that, Mons, I think we have a big chance to get it. And he knew the Italians, the AC Milan, very well, and the Italian way of playing. And I was, obviously, during the half-time, I was crying, and oh my God. To be honest, I was praying, please don't let them score anymore. But I knew that Rafa could try to turn everything up, and he did it. And it was the most amazing game ever. You know, during the halftime, I was in the stand, and the Italians were quiet. They were like, okay, we have made it. But all the Liverpool fans, they were shouting and singing and with the scarves, and it was amazing. And when the game was over and we were the winners, another thing that was really surprising was the Italian stand in less than 3 minutes was empty. They just left. They didn't wait for their team or cheer them up. Nothing, they just left. And for example, in Athens, we were the runner, you know, we were second. And our fans, they stayed till the end. And they still cheering up, singing, supporting the team, the players. And that was really, really amazing. Not all the fans do the same. Most of them in other countries, in other clubs, when the team is down, they just leave the place, and that is. But Liverpool ones, they always are there.
At everything. And perhaps that will drive you on and on for the ultimate goal, which clearly is the Premier League, but it's thoughts of things like that that give you additional self-belief and momentum.
Yeah, clearly when you can achieve these things, you know that you can do another things. Now our target, everybody knows that is the Premier League, because all our supporters, they want, and we will try, but we have confidence. Always I say that we have better squad and we have confidence, but also I must analyze the other things, no, the other teams, and you need to know that you have to do everything almost perfect if you want to compete, because it's really difficult. The other teams, you can see, if you talk about United, Chelsea, or Arsenal, one of them maybe will have a bad season, but all of them at the same time is really difficult, so you need to be almost perfect if you want to win.
I think if Liverpool had lost that final, fans would still have been amazed at the fact that he'd taken them to the mm-hmm. final. But Rafa himself, would he have seen that as a massive disappointment even in his first season if he'd lost the European Cup final?
Well, he never likes losing a game. Never. Even, you know, he's not a loser. Even when he plays with the girls, you know, Ludo or chess, he never allowed them to win. And they are little.
Still.
Yes, but he is a winner. And he plays to win. And he fights to win. In his mind is never an option. We can't lose. No, we are going to win.
As a family, you're a team of fighters, and that's a very Liverpool thing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we think that if we work hard and we try really hard, and we have hope and faith, we can get whatever we want. And it was the same in Spain when he won the first Liga. I remember one day we were 9 points or 10 behind Real Madrid. And one day at breakfast time, Rafa said, Monse, I was thinking we're going to win this year. I said, Rafa, you're crazy. We're 19 points down. He said, no. I have been having a look, you know, to the next games and everything and the fixtures. We can win. And we won. And we were 7 points ahead Real Madrid. So that's Rafa. He analyzes everything. It's not just a feeling. I'm more, you know, I talk with my heart, and Rafa always talks with the brain. So he analyzes everything. And then if he thinks that he can have the chance, then he really focuses and works really hard.
You're in a position where people do criticise. Clearly they praise, but they criticise as well. And I presume you have to have an extremely strong character to take all that in and soak it up and still do your job.
Yeah, I think that always I try to talk with my staff. No, it's the first thing, and hear the opinions. And after this, I have my own ideas, and then I start thinking about why, you know, why about everything, and is the way for changing things. Sometimes you cannot, and sometimes you have an idea and you say, okay, this is my idea, I will keep going with this one. I remember the first time that I was fired, the chairman was telling me, oh, why you don't change the keeper, why you don't put this one, why you don't put the other one. I say, okay, I will think about, because it was every week he was talking to me about this. And he was very clever. He was not pushing too hard, but every week, boom, boom, boom. And at the last week, he was pushing really hard. And I said, okay, I will think about it. And at the end of the day, I knew that the keeper that I was selecting was the best keeper. So I used the same keeper. We lost against Barcelona 1-0, and on Wednesday, we lost against Valencia, and I was fired. But I was happy with myself because I knew that was the best keeper after they sold this keeper for 9 million euros. So I was right, but nobody can say now this because really I was fired.
When you go over to Spain and you see your family and you know you're coming back to England and to Merseyside, are those true feelings there of, you know, I'm desperate to get home and home is where you live on Merseyside?
Oh yes, I've been for 3 weeks in Spain, and the two first ones have been great. But the third one, I was desperate to come back home. And yes, this is my home and I'm really happy here. So I don't want to move to any other place. I think that maybe it's my age. I'm getting older. But I think that a certain time in life, you need a place to settle down and just live there. And I believe that Rafa and myself, we have found this right place to us and to our children to grow up and have a life.
Yeah, you like the environment, you love the club.
Yes.
You can't see yourself anywhere else. This truly is where you feel you belong.
Oh, yes, I do. And if not for me, it could be heartbreaking. I remember last year we have quite a lot of trouble here, a very hard time. And one day I just exploded and I was crying for an hour because I cannot think now at the moment another place to live. I have my life here, my friends, the club, you know, this is actually my place. If I come back now to Spain, my friends, they have done their own lives and my family the same. And it's no connection actually. I feel a stranger there, you know, and here is where I belong now.
This is the Real Rafa, Rafa Benitez, as you've never heard him before. In exclusive conversation with Steve Hollisall on Radio City 96.7.
Monse, what passions does it instill when you arrive at Anfield for a game? Does the place, the stadium, walking through the Shankly gates, does that mean a lot?
Yes, you know, when you walk through the Shankly gates and you met all the supporters, you know, and they wave you and say hello, hi, you know, and also the club, the staff, you know, the security people, everything is like, hi, Monse, hi, how are you, and kisses, and it's like coming home. It's not like going to a football game. It's like to, okay, we are coming home, we are going to share a great time with the family and with people. It's not, sometimes in the past, I didn't go to the games because it was too social. you know, and now it's, I want to come here, you know, I'm waiting for the game because it's a special time when you met a lot of friends as well, and also so I enjoy the game. You know, sometimes it's really horrible, you know, I'm biting my nails and everything, but it's special. And when we sing together, you know, you never walk alone. It's always, oh.
Are there a number of times where you've looked at the cop and you've seen the pictures of Rafa on the cop, or you've heard them chanting his name?
Yeah.
And it's almost brought you so emotional that you've been, you know, on the verge of tears? And...
Yeah, sometimes it's even scary, you know. You said they are singing. I remember once they were singing for about 10 minutes Rafa's name, and I was singing, please stop it, because, you know, it's embarrassing. But it's unbelievable. You must be here at Anfield and Liverpool to believe it.
What's the real Rafa like when he gets home after a football match? We hear lots of stories, there's lots of myths about, you know, you just sit there all night replaying the game again and again. Is that you?
Sometimes, no, again and again, no, but I like to see the game if it's possible, as soon as possible too, so you can analyse and you can start preparing the next one, no? And especially if you play two games a week, you have to do it quickly. Now in this moment you try to enjoy with your family, but it's difficult, especially if you lose, it's difficult. My wife, she knows, so I think that this, for me, the main thing is if you can watch the game again, analyse the game and start thinking about the next training session, the next game, how to improve. But I am not watching all the night. Sometimes I cannot sleep too much, so I go, I say, listen, why I will be thinking about everything? I go and I will watch the game or I will work.
The dog never gets kicked, sort of thing. Maybe Monsi takes it in the ear a bit, does she?
Yeah, Monsi, I think, is a saint, you say, because she knows how difficult it is to be with a man that likes football, as I think that the majority of the managers know.
I've just spent a little bit of time with yourself and your wife having some lunch, and you've got a tremendous relationship. She really does keep you on the hook, doesn't she? Keeps you in your place.
Yeah, I think that I said before, she's very clever, so she tried to help me in different ways. And I think it's good. Always, you know, when you have a lot of responsibility, you need someone close to you that can give to you advice, no, in some moments.
Does she ever give you any input, or maybe bring you back down when you're maybe frustrated about things, or maybe offer you an observation that you hadn't seen before?
No, in terms of football, she's very clever, so she doesn't say too much. No, normally, if she can see something, maybe, but something about more the attitude or things like this, not about just the game. It's more about to keep me calm, no? When I am really disappointed, say, okay, confidence in yourself, be calm, analyze, and after you will find a solution, but things like this. In terms of football, she doesn't, she's, as I said before, she's very clever, she doesn't talk too much about football, because she knows that at the end of the day, I have my own ideas and I have good staff around me.
It's never an easy ride for managers, and especially in this country, and especially in the Premier League. I mean, Rafa needs someone to turn to.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, but it's good when he comes back home after a game, and maybe it wasn't a very good game. He always talked to me maybe half an hour. I just listened to him, and I think that that's good for him, you know, to let go out everything, and I think that's good. I don't have a lot of talk about football, because I think that I don't understand football the same level as Rafa. And so I listen to him, and I usually give him my point of view and my opinion from outside. And also that helps sometimes, because he is so focused on football. Sometimes you have not a tunnel vision, but you need to have a bigger picture of everything, and that is what I try to do, give him that bigger picture of the situation.
So you are a sounding board, but do sometimes you just offer something that you think maybe sticks in his head? You know, he's talking to you for 30 minutes about why Steven Gerrard did this or why Fernando Torres did that, and do you often just throw something in that you think lodges in his head?
Well, it's if it's something very clear, maybe. But if not, usually I try also to adopt the player's position and said, well, Rafa, maybe, you know, Steve today, he didn't feel well because, you know, that or whatever. Because obviously you know also about the private lives of the players and things. And I try a bit, you know, to defend the player sometimes. I said, Rafa, maybe you are too hard. Maybe it's not all black. Maybe there is a bit of grayish in the way. And sometimes I think that he says, oh, yeah, maybe you are right. Or sometimes he says, yeah, I'm just telling me. You don't know about football. You are a woman. But, you know, sometimes I think that it stays in his mind and he thinks about it.
You're possibly the only person who can do that, aren't you? I mean, you know, for players to talk to the manager is sometimes hard. He's their boss. Even for coaching staff around here, they'd be very wary of what they're saying, the press, when we're talking to him. But you're someone who really can always express your feelings with the manager.
Well, I think so. Yes, well, sometimes it's not very easy. But with Rafa, it's very clear. When he's not in the mood, you know that you must be missing all day till, you know, the clouds go and the sky is sunny again. But yes, I have no problem to speak to Raf about anything.
Well, what are your passions away from the game? Is it very much family time, or is there much time at all with a job that's so demanding, Rafa?
Yeah, I like to be with the family here because it's not the same when you are in your country and you have your parents or your brother, your sister. And here is just my wife and my daughters. So I try to be with the family as much as I can. And okay, now you have too much time for doing other things. If you go with the bicycle or to run a little bit if you can. But in Spain it was different because in Spain I had a lot of teammates and former teammates. So we could go, we could play cards or things like this. But here in England you don't know how to play moose. Moose is a very, very famous game in Spain with cards, so I think it's the best in the world and I like a lot, but here I cannot because you need four people, so it's difficult. But here in England I like to be with the family.
Two girls, the Benitez footballing tradition might come to an abrupt end. No boys in the family sort of thing, but are you trying to install that fascination with the game in them?
You don't need to do anything because especially the little one, both they like Liverpool, they like the team. But the little one is crazy, you know. She's always, I am Liverpool, I am Liverpool, we have won. She's always talking about football. She likes to play football. She's 5 years old. It's not good enough, but in this moment, but she likes a lot. And she has some stories about the Evertonians and so in the nursery. And it's amazing. I don't know why, but I think she has a really, really passion, you know.
She brings home football jokes from nursery and tells her dad.
Yeah. She had some problems with Evertonian because when we lost, but after when we won, so I think that was their revenge.
What is the real Rafa like at home? Is he a great dad? Do you sit and watch Coronation Street? What? Because this is what everyone wonders, isn't it?
Rafa is a very normal man. The first thing he does when he comes home is just to wear his shorts and old t-shirt and flip-flops, and that is. And he likes playing with the girls. Maybe they play football in the corridor, and I go mad, say, careful with that. And he said, don't worry, you know. All right. When it's about to be bedtime, suddenly he starts running behind the girls and chasing them, always in the last minute. But he's a great dad. Sometimes he's like a big child. He's a joker. He's really funny. You always laugh and have a smile with Rafa. He's a funny man. And he has loads of patience with the girls and with myself. And he's never angry. He never shouts. Only, you know, by his face, okay, that's the edge. But he never shouts to the girls or never. He always tries to talk to them. And he is firm and hard when he must be. But he's a lovely dad. He is not a handyman. No, if he tries to hand a picture, maybe you will end with a big hole in the wall. But, I don't ask him for that. And he's not a big cook. But he helps with breakfast. Yes, he put the milk pan on the fire and everything. But he's very good at home. And in the evening, we do as everyone does. After supper, we watch telly. He likes, the comedies, the old ones, Only Fools and Horses, My Family, Father Ted. He loves that. And for him, it's a good way of learning English as well, because he understands it very well. And it's a normal life. It's not nothing special. We don't have a glamorous life, nothing like that.
Is his idea of romance sending you flowers or giving you the match ball?
Well, maybe the match ball. He's not a very romantic one, but he's very sensitive. And he tries his best, but he's not very romantic. I think that the idea of romanticism that the women have is different to men. But he is really sweet, and maybe is the best husband you can have.
You get home, did you cook for your wife? What's your sort of routine? Have you got a very normal sort of family life? What music are you into?
No, my wife, she likes to cook, so I don't need to do anything. And you can see from my side that it's good. So I know that when I go at home, I try to be calm. If I can watch some games, especially the weekends, okay, I am watching the Spanish League or the Premier League or the Championship sometimes, so it depends. But just to stay with the family and do normal things.
When you drive to a game and you're getting yourself ready for a game, is there any music you're listening to that's getting you, prepared, built in for this sort of thing? How does Rafa mentally approach all sort of football?
I don't need music. I just watch the game or think about the game and prepare the game. No. Normally, I don't need music. It's just to be concentrated.
As a family unit, do you manage to get out much, or it must be hard going to the cinema? Or, if there's a film on, he must be interested in thinking, "I'd like to see that." But it's very different for you guys in your environment.
No, we go with the girls to have lunch and things like that, and we go to the cinema, and always is two, three people who ask for a photograph or an autograph. But that's all. People respect your private life a lot. And never is a problem. He comes to the school gates with me and with the school, and maybe he plays football with the school boys. And they see him like Claudius and Agatha's dad, Morton, Rafa. And where we live is the same. He is Rafa, wearing his shorts and trainers, walking the dog. Is not Rafael Benitez, the football manager. And he talks to everybody at Tesco's or at the shops, and is like another neighbour more in the place.
Talks about football to them, I would imagine.
Well, he talks about football, yes, but he talks about football saying that the rest of the men, when they go to the pub or for a drink, so...
Monte, as well as that, you're an art lover, you're a golf player. I don't know how you fit everything into this life. What interest does Rafa take in those sort of outside pursuits that you've got? Golf, has he played 18 holes with you?
Well, he came with me to a driving range once, and he almost killed a Liverpool supporter, so that was the last attempt.
Yeah, it was very funny, because I was a Liverpool fan, so I was in the Grange range, because it was the first time or the second time that I was trying and almost kill him. He was behind, so it was more difficult. But anyway, I think it's a good game, but I think that you will need time, no? So maybe in a future, but now I prefer to be concentrating in football.
Has your passion or ambition ever dwindled, or is there so much more you want to achieve?
No, clearly, if we were talking about the mentality, no? I like to win in all the games, so I will try to achieve or to win trophies here. This is something that always has been the same. Maybe because I was for 20 years in relationship with Real Madrid as a player and also as a coach, so the mentality always to finish second is a disaster. So we will try to to finish first in all the competitions, but you need to upset and the time show you that you need to upset that sometimes you cannot, but at least you have to try every year.
You mentioned before about sometimes looking at the crowd and seeing them, you know, shout his name, and he is totally revered. You know, he's almost in the Paisley, he's almost in the Shankly. He's up there alongside them. His ambitions and his willingness to achieve greatness are probably the same as those guys, but he just seems so down to earth.
Well, I think the same as the others. I think that Bill Shankly was really down to earth. And Rafa has been the same like that. He is the same Rafa that I met 13 years ago. His style has this child inside, and the energy and the dreams. And I think that he's going to be like that forever.
I think I am maybe miles away from Shankly or Paisley or all these great managers. No, hopefully in the future, but in this moment, as I say before, I'm really pleased, but I think I need to win more trophies to be at the same level.
And I think that that's a good thing. And as I said to you before, sometimes we talk and we remember how our life was maybe 10 years ago. And we remember where we come from. I come from a very small village in the countryside. He comes from a very working people neighborhood in Madrid. And we know what it means to work hard. And what it means to wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, go to work with a horrible boss, and you know, and so within that, you must remember that, because you never know what's going to happen in life, and maybe one day everything changes, and we will need the help of the people that at the moment is down or in a different position. You never know in life what's going to happen, so it's very important to keep your feet down and know where you come from and stay there.
Yeah, feet on the floor, and you're both very passionate.
Yes, I'm more passionate than him, but he's very passionate as well.
Can you sum up Liverpool Football Club? What does it mean to you?
So important for us, for my family, for me. Changed something in my life, no? When we were in Tenerife, we were in Almendralejo, in Badajoz, we were in Valencia, I was in Madrid before, so we were really pleased in all these towns, and the people was really good with us, but especially here, I think that was in the crucial time when you had big problems, the people was behind you, and it's something that you cannot forget. So I think that is more than a club, no? When you talk about clubs. For us, it's more than a club, and the fans are more than just supporters. I think that they are part of our life now.
The Real Rafa on Radio City 96.7.